this morning, we get to celebrate Resurrection Sunday together. We're going to go through this morning. I'm going to give you a little history of what we call Resurrection Sunday. A lot of people call it Easter. We're going to learn about that this morning. But let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father, once again, we want to thank you for this opportunity to go back into your Word this morning to see what this marvelous story is about that you call Resurrection Sunday. Lord, I pray once again that you will empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your Word, and that you will quicken by your Holy Spirit the ears of the hearers. Open their hearts to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Save those that don't know you. And Lord, energize us that do know you. What an awesome, wonderful day we get to spend together to hear your word and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's start off first. We're going to start, we're going to go through all the Gospels. We're going to start in Matthew's account, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is in all four of the Gospels. We're going to go through them this morning, but I want to give you a little bit of history. If you would, you might want to write these down in an open spot of your bulletins. These are the references I'm going to use this morning on this history. We're going to start with first the Strong's Concordance, which is a Greek dictionary of the New Testament. We're going to look on what Easter is about, the Passover, Resurrection Sunday. Pascha is the name, stands for the Passover, the meal, the day, the festival or the special sacrifices connected with Easter, the Passover. Pascha is the Greek spelling to the Aramaic word for Passover. From the Hebrew, Pascha, to Passover, to spare, a feast instituted by God in commemoration of the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And it is a foreshadow of the coming of Jesus Christ, right? It is also translated Easter. It is an excellent designation for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But, unfortunately, as we're going to see here, as we have seen in this world, there's also a pagan holiday tied to it. Easter. This is from the Vine's Concise Dictionary. Pascha. Mistranslated Easter in Acts 12:4 in the King James Version Bible. We're going to see that. Let's pull up the King James Version, Acts chapter 12, verse 4. I'm going to read that to you. It says, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." But in the New King James Study Bible, it says, Acts 12:4, "So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover." You see, the phrase after Passover signifies after the whole festival was at end. The term Easter is not of Christian origin. It says here in the Vine's Concise Dictionary, the term, it comes from a Chaldean goddess, or the Queen of Heaven. The festival of Pascha, held by Christians in post-apostolic times, was a continuation of a Jewish feast. But it was not instituted by Christ, nor was it connected with Lent. From this Pascha, the pagan festival Easter was quite distinct and was introduced into the apostate Western religion as part of the attempt to adapt pagan festivals to Christianity. Interesting to think about. This is from the Nelson Bible Dictionary. Easter, a feast or festival of the Christian church that commemorates the resurrection of Christ. It is celebrated on the first Sunday following the full moon. that occurs on or after March 21st, or 1 week later if the full moon falls on Sunday. In other words, Easter falls between March 22nd and April 25th. Since Easter was originally a pagan festival honoring a goddess of light and spring. It's at the time of the vernal equinox, the day in the spring when the sun crosses the equator, and the day and night are of equal length, sacrifices were offered to her. It says, though, as early as the 8th century, the word was used to designate the annual Christian celebration of the resurrection of Christ. The only appearance of the word Easter, which is in the King James Bible, is a mistranslation of Pascha, the Greek word for Passover. This one here is from the Layman's Bible Dictionary. Easter, an annual celebration observed by much of the Christian church, commemorating Christ's resurrection. Modern observances of Easter represents a coverage that says three traditions. The Hebrew Passover, celebrated during Nisan, the first month of the Hebrew lunar calendar. Number two, the Christian commemoration of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, which took place at the Feast of Passover. And then number three, the Norse Ostra, or Estra, from which the name Easter is derived. This is the pagan festival of spring, which fell at the vernal equinox. During this one, prominent symbols in this celebration of the resurrection of nature after the winter were rabbits, signifying fertility, productivity. Eggs, colored like the rays of the returning sun in the modern lights, or aurora borealis. Or, you know what aurora means? Aurora, one definition is a Roman goddess of the dawn. The other definition is a luminous band in the night sky. So, the fixing of the date of the celebration of Jesus' resurrection was the occasion of much controversy in the early church. One group insisted that the festival fall on Sunday, since the Lord, we know, rose on the first day of the week. The opposition insisted that it be coordinated with the Jewish Passover, which might fall on any day of the week. But in AD 325, the Council of Nicene decreed that the resurrection would ordinarily be celebrated on the first Sunday after the full moon following the vernal equinox. If, however, the full moon fell on Sunday, the celebration was to be postponed a week to avoid coincidence with the Jewish Passover. This method of reckoning the day of Easter, which is still in use, means that Easter may fall at any time within the 35-day period between March 22nd and April 25th. Just an interesting background to what we call Easter. Now, let's go to the four Gospels and look at the accounts of Resurrection Sunday. Let's start Matthew chapter 28. If you turn with me in your Bibles, verses 1 through 8. It says, "He is risen. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." It says here in the study Bible of the Nelson, New King James Version, although Matthew is brief in his discussion of the resurrection of Christ, he defends it very carefully. The resurrection was attested by several witnesses, including an angel, various soldiers, and the women at the tomb. The tomb with Jesus' body was in was sealed, but later the body was not found there. The excuse of the soldiers was illogical. No Roman soldier would admit sleeping on the job, as the punishment for that was death. Finally, Jesus himself appeared to many of his disciples, proving and providing even more witnesses to his resurrection from the dead. Matthew presents the evidence for Jesus' resurrection with precise precision because the doctrine is essential to the Christian faith. The resurrection is a sign that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and the resurrection validates the Lord's own prophecies of it. Paul the Apostle emphasizes the importance of the resurrection by listing a series of consequences of the doctrine if it is denied. We're going to see that later in Scripture. Let's go to Mark's account of the resurrection. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verses 1 through 8. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they may come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. In entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." Verse 8. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they were trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Very interesting. Chosen by God as the first witnesses to Christ's resurrection, these women were commanded to go and tell. The special mention of Peter also signifies that Christ still accepted him, even though Peter had denied him three times. Ironically, initially the women's fear caused him to say nothing to anyone. They recovered shortly, however, as the text says, and brought word to the 11 disciples, including Peter. Let's go to Luke's account. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women went with them, came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But when they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again?' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." So as you go, you pick up different accounts of what is written about this resurrection. Let's go to the last account, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and called to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they had laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their own homes. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is key to the Christian faith. There would be no Christianity if there was no resurrection. Even the Jewish leaders, they did not deny the empty tomb. Instead, they made up the story. They lied about it, that Jesus' disciples had stolen the body of Jesus. Let's look at that account. Go back to Matthew chapter 28. Let's look at the lie that was generated about the resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 through 15. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and they will see me." Verse number 11. Now while they were going, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. While they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. His disciples stole him away while we slept. Besides being a lie, think about it. This was a terrible, weak explanation. If a guard was found sleeping at his post, or if a prisoner escaped the penalty, the guard would be put to death. It may have been possible, though, for one soldier to sleep, but all of them, all the soldiers sleeping, that was probably improbable, that they'd all be sleeping at the same time. Also, if they were sleeping, how could they see? Sleeping people do not make good witnesses, do they? If they were asleep, how could they know what happened? See the lie? Until this day refers to the specific time of the writing of the Matthew's Gospel. That, however, if you went throughout the world today, you would still see lies about the resurrection. Many other stories, many other lies over the years have been made up over the empty tomb. They were lies, though, as I just mentioned. Don't you think that if they could find and present the body of Jesus Christ, that they would have gladly paraded it around publicly to shut the mouths of those who were proclaiming the resurrection? Oh yeah, they'd have paraded that thing up and down the streets to shut the mouths of the Christians. I want to share with you a summary, though, before we continue on. The summary of the resurrection. Here's a summary of the events of the resurrection from John MacArthur's Bible commentary, found in all four Gospels. We just read them. Let's summarize them. Finding the stone rolled away, the women entered the tomb. They found it empty. While they were still in the tomb, the angels suddenly appeared. The angel who spoke reminded them of Jesus' promises. Then he sent them to find Peter and to the other disciples to report to them that Jesus was risen. The women did as they were told. Disciples were skeptical at first, but ran to where the tomb was. John arriving first. Peter brought up the rear, right? And he entered the tomb first. They saw the linen wrappings intact and empty, proof that Jesus was risen. They left immediately. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene returned to the tomb and was standing outside weeping when Christ suddenly appeared to her. That was His first appearance. Sometime after that, He met the other women on the road and appeared to them as well. Later that day, He appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then He appeared to the Apostle Peter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5 through 8. It says, Scripture describes at least 10 distinctive appearances of Christ between the resurrection and His ascension. As we said earlier, He appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, to the women on the road, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, to Peter, to the 10 of the 11 disciples, Thomas being absent, to the 11 disciples with Thomas present 8 days later, to 7 disciples by the Sea of Galilee, to more than 500 disciples, probably on a mountain in Galilee, to James, and to the apostles when He ascended into heaven. After His ascension, He appeared to the Apostle Paul, as you might remember, on the Damascus Road where He slammed Him in the dirt. The next time, though, that Jesus appears, He's going to appear in glory. He's coming back, the Bible says, as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's going to rule and reign with an iron scepter when He comes back next time. You see, Jesus, omnipotent power over death, and the proof of His deity was His resurrection. His resurrection was Almighty God's stamp of approval of Jesus' perfect sacrifice, which was Himself, and the acceptance of that sacrifice for the full payment of sin. You cannot believe in the Bible and truly be saved without accepting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mentioned that earlier, but let's put some text to that. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Let me read that to you. The text says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, verse number 9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. Just believing in Jesus will not get you to heaven. The book of James says the demons believe and they tremble. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 40. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answering, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But He answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Been a lot of skepticism about them 3 days and 3 nights. I like, though, here in the commentary of the study Bible what it says. We'll start with the demand for sign. The demand for signs is evidence of unbelief rather than faith. The sign of the prophet Jonah is explained in verse 40 as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 3 days and three nights does not necessarily indicate 3 full days. In ancient Israel, a part of a day was considered a whole day. So a period of 26 hours could be called 3 days. Go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. John chapter 2. Verses 13 through 22. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these away. Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, once again, here they go, What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. You see, the message of the resurrection is a message of hope for believers. Death is not the end of those who belong to God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. A person who denies that Jesus was raised from the dead denies Christ's deity. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, has power over death, hell, and the grave. I'm going to read to you the complete chapter of Revelation chapter 1. Let's go to that. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, who keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Christ says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," says the Lord, "who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, 'I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, and to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.' Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." You see, Jesus Christ gave John a message to tell to the churches. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega." He said, "I was he who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore." Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 about this Christ. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearances of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then your redemption was not accomplished at the cross. Jesus himself spoke of this resurrection when he walked this earth. John chapter 11, verse 17 through 26, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So when Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb for 4 days. He's talking about Lazarus. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still in the house. Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it, will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" As we close this morning, some call it Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday because he is risen. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is without a doubt the most important aspect of our faith. Many critics scoff at Christ's resurrection. They say it isn't true. You see, without Christ's resurrection, our faith is useless. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the skeptics of the world? Or are you going to believe the Bible? In Matthew's Gospel, I got 3 verses I want to close with this morning. I should say 4. Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23. "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and the third day he will rise up.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful." Acts chapter 1, verse 3. "To whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God before his ascension." 40 days he presented himself that he was alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. Paul says, For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, which we know as Peter, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some had fallen asleep. Same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 through 22. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. I like what Pastor Charles Stanley says. Comfort from the empty tomb. A sad group of women walked to Jesus' tomb on the Sunday morning after His death. Their Savior, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, had been brutally beaten and crucified. The women's hearts must have been heavy with disappointment and grief. Yet in an instant, mourning was turned to joy. An angel greeted them to offer His comfort. He said, "He is not here, for He is risen, just as He said." So many of the confusing things the Lord had said now suddenly made sense. Not only had He prophesied about His own death and resurrection, but He had also explained His relationship with God as oneness. The grave cannot hold the Almighty. The resurrection put to rest any doubt Christ's followers may have harbored about who He was. God kept every one of His promises in prophesying regarding the Messiah. For example, Jesus died on the cross before the soldiers decided to break the legs of those who were crucified. But they pierced His side with a spear to be certain of His death. At what seemed to be the end, Christ was buried in a rich man's tomb. However, He did not stay in the grave. Jesus conquered death and is now seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for every believer. He knows your name. He knows where you are. He knows your need. He knows your desires. The comfort of the empty tomb is that our Savior is alive. He's watching over us, just as He said He would. God's little promises this morning is in your bulletin on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." That's my hope this morning. That I want to share with everybody here and with everybody who's going to listen to this CD, that Jesus Christ is risen. He's risen from the dead. Let's close in prayer. Father, once again, I want to thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your Word, Your revelation that You've given to us, to look into and know there is a hope that Jesus Christ has risen, that death has no victory over Him, that He has the victory, that He is seated at Your right hand. Lord, I want to thank You for those that came this morning. And Father, I want to pray that those who are listening and those who are going to listen to the CD, that if they don't know You, Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You'll draw them unto Yourself and that You'll save them. I pray that You'll grant them salvation. The Bible says that no one can come to the Father unless You draw him unto Yourself. We thank You for that. We thank You that our salvation is in you. It's nothing that we can do. So Lord, I pray that you'll speak to those that's depending on salvation in their works, in their own righteousness. That you open their eyes and soften their hearts to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Before we close this morning,